The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Juju, who is no longer going to get down. We'll do the dance as the Steelers try to sort all of this out. Meanwhile, I say this weekend will tell everything about whether the Packers can win it all, and it has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. We'll explain. Plus, one very respected NFL voice disses Tom Brady in a big way. The big question is he right? We've got all the answers as we get up with you on this Christmas Eve edition on ESPN, starting right now. Greeny from the Seaport, and delighted that you are here. And look who's along for the ride. We got plenty of football to get to today, and we got Lewis, and we got Shefty, and we got D-Wood, and we got Neek. They're all ready to go. The tree behind D-Wood is spectacular. Wait until you see it. Tons of football to get to today, but we begin with the NBA, where the Rockets and the Thunder did not play last night. Their game postponed because the Rockets did not have enough available players due to COVID concerns. James Harden was one of those after he was seen at a club earlier this week with no mask. And for more, let us go right to the story. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, what is next now for Houston under these circumstances?
Well, Greeny, Houston, James Harden, they await the league's ruling, perhaps as soon as today, about how long James Harden's going to have to stay in, you know, quarantine protocol and have to test negative for the coronavirus in consecutive days before he's cleared to return. Now, the Rockets travel to Portland tomorrow to play a Saturday game and then to Denver Monday. And, you know, there's real question whether he'll be cleared in time to play in either of those games. And right now, this is a Houston team that couldn't get eight eligible players to play the Thunder last night, had the game postponed. And besides James Harden, you know, they're waiting for other players who either have the coronavirus or who are in contact tracing protocol right now to become eligible again. So, you know, a lot of challenges for this Rockets organization to start the season.
No question. And it feels to me like there are really two separate stories here. One of them is how do they get back to playing games again? We cover that. The other is how does this impact their ability to trade James Harden, who has made no secret of the fact that that's what he wants. What is the answer to that question? How does this affect that?
Well, I think in the short term, I think it curbs trade talks, at least for a few days here, as the Rockets and teams find out when exactly is Harden going to be eligible to return again? How long is he going to be held out by the league? And, you know, remember, he's going to lose because this was a violation. Him being sidelined was a violation of their protocols. This is going to cost him about $573,000 a game for each missed game. But I think they were not close to a trade before this episode this week. They've been engaging with teams in both conferences. This doesn't get them closer to a deal. Teams are going to wait and see, certainly, when Harden would be eligible. And listen, the Rockets hope they could get some leverage back in trade talks by getting Harden and John Wall on the floor together, getting him playing well, and that's not the case to start the season.
Right. Doesn't feel like it's going to happen in the next day or two either. I want to show everyone what James Harden's response to all this was. He did post this on Instagram yesterday. I'll read it to you. One thing after another, I went to show love to my homegirl at her event, not a strip club, because she is becoming a boss and putting her people in position of success, and now it's a problem. Every day it's something different. No matter how many times people try to drag my name under, you can't. The real always end on top. So that is what he said. I want to bring Kendrick into this conversation as well. There's Big Perk with us this morning, and I just would like to give you the floor here, big fella. What is your reaction to all this?
I mean, it's a damn shame, Greeny. I mean, here you have a veteran guy who knows how to, you know, approach the game, who I thought was a true professional. But right now he's dropping the ball. And it's a lack of leadership across the board in the Rockets organization. I know that the James Harden is a grown man, but you have to blame some of this on Tillman Fertitta because he gave James Harden an inch and he took a mile, right? So when you look at James Harden, the thing that upsets me the most is that he's burning down the bridge that guys like Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird paved the way for guys like him today to be able to get paid hundreds of millions of dollars. And what he's doing now, he's hurting the younger generation. You got to come on, James. You got to be more professional. In the words of my wife, when I be around here acting crazy, she tell me I'm tripping. You're tripping. You're tripping. Period, Greeny.
Could I ask you quickly, Kendrick? Because we know that, among other things, the man is a walking 30-point triple-double, and we assume he remains that. But the way he's handled his return this year, the shape that he appears to be in, and now this situation, if you're another team right now, Kendrick Perkins, does this impact how badly you want to bring him in a trade?
Absolutely. We know what we'll get out of James Harden between the lines. We know that he could, you know, put the ball in the bucket once one of the best to ever do it. But a lot of GMs right now, Greeny, are scared to trade for James Harden because of his off-the-court activities or festivities, should I say. And they don't want him to come in and be around their young guys and teach them bad habits. Like, you have to be more professional. So right now, a lot of GMs are turned off by the way that James Harden is acting.
All right, we will talk more about this
Greeny,
as we go.
I wouldn't trade for him.
Well, okay, wouldn't trade for him. That's it. We'll talk more about this as we go. There was a great game last night we'll get back to, and Woj will come back to you as well as we continue. Guys, sit tight. Thank you. But let's get to the NFL now, because we're calling this playoff implication weekend. We got several games with major implications, including Titans, Packers, Sunday night. Tennessee can clinch a playoff berth with a win or a Ravens or Dolphins loss. Packers can wrap up home field advantage and a bye with a win and a Seahawks loss. Speaking of the Seahawks, they clinch the NFC West with a win against the Rams. LA can clinch a playoff spot with a win or a little help, other help. The Colts, meanwhile, play the Steelers. Indy can clinch the playoffs with a win and a little help. Steelers, losers of three straight, can wrap up the division with a win or a Cleveland loss. Meanwhile, here's Big Ben Roethlisberger on a players-only meeting he called to try to stop the bleeding.
I just wanted guys to understand and to reiterate how important this time of year is, and that the playoffs aren't guaranteed to anybody. So it wasn't a players-only panic meeting. Make sure people keep writing that this is a meeting that we felt was necessary moving forward to going into the postseason.
All right, and so here is the entire football squad. And Dominique, I'm starting with you because we talked about this morning. When he says it's not a players-only panic meeting, what do you say?
I mean, there's no such thing as a players-only non-panic meeting. Like, players-only meetings, like, they come about because the team is in disarray and somewhat in panic. If he just wanted to reiterate how important the playoffs are and how it's not just given, you can do that in the team meeting in the morning where the coaches are. You can do that in other meetings. When you want everyone out of the room but the players, it's normally because of some emotional component or some psychological component. There's some air that needs to be cleared. There's some tension between a position group or some tension between players and coaches. There's something that needs to be discussed. There's some sort of mindset switch that needs to be made. There's no point for a players-only meeting given what we know about their situation, because what we know about their situation is they have issues with injury and they have issues with performance. You can't talk somebody into performing differently. You can't talk someone's knee into being healthy. And unless someone, one of those players, has a time machine and can take Ben Roethlisberger back to when he could hold the ball for 5 seconds in the pocket and shrug off a defensive lineman, unless one of those players knows that, I'm not sure what they're meeting about.
Well, let's try and figure out what the panic is about. Lewis Riddick, you had their game on Monday night. You and I were just talking before we came on. We were both shocked, frankly, at how bad they looked in Cincinnati. So if they are panicking at least a little, what should they be panicking about?
Yeah, probably a number of different things if you're going to use the word panic. Although from talking to them, I really don't get the sense that they are panicking. But I will say this, their level of concern went up significantly on Monday night. And I think first and foremost for me, look, I'm worried about Ben, but I'm not, you know, I'm not like out of my mind worried about him because I think, look, he's a professional. He's a Hall of Famer. He understands that he's not playing well. He gets that, and you could see that on Monday night. But the thing that I'm really worried about with that offense is this. Their pass protection for a team that throws the ball as much as they do, you saw what happened to it on Monday night. You saw their tackles just got absolutely just ran through all night long. Carl Lawson just tortured Villanueva, the left tackle. And you see it right here on the screen. So this week they go up against the Indianapolis Colts. Have you watched the Indianapolis Colts pass rush? Have you seen what they do to quarterbacks? That's the kind of thing that worries me. If they aren't able to strike better balance in the run game and take some of this pressure off Ben to where he's dropping back 35, 40 times a game, if they don't get that figured out, they will be lucky to win one game. And that's something that surprises me to say for a team that started off 11-0, which I don't think was smoke and mirrors. Yeah. I think this is a good team, but they have to get back to some sort of balance, and their offensive line has to play much, much better.
You know, D. Wood, along those lines, like I happen to notice yesterday was the 48th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, and for every single one of those 48 years, the one thing you knew about the Pittsburgh Steelers was that they were going to be a physical football team. So what is your reaction to what people are saying about them and what we are seeing on the tape from them right now?
Greeny, they can't impose their will on anyone. You know, and that's crazy to think about when you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, because usually when someone brings up the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's synonymous with, you know, physicality, defense, running the football, those type of things. And we all know that Big Ben is on the back nine of his career. There's no reason for Big Ben to be having to throw the ball around as much as he is. And that the reason that he's doing that is they can't knock people off the ball. You know, that's been a big recipe for Pittsburgh success in years prior, but they just can't do that this year, and it's starting to manifest itself out right now at this critical stretch where they've lost three games in a row. They can't protect the quarterback, they can't run the ball, and it's exposing the whole football team.
And so, Shefty, I've been waiting all week long to get to you on this, because let's talk about the Hall of Fame quarterback. You had the story earlier in the week that Ben Roethlisberger says he wants to come back next year.
Yep.
His cap number right now is over $41 million for next year. So how does that work?
Well, he has the largest cap number of any player in the league next year, but it doesn't change the fact that he does want to play, he does want to come back, and he does want to fulfill the terms of that contract. And again, you can bring him back, and if you need more space, maybe there's a way to restructure that deal to create more flexibility to strengthen other positions. But make no mistake about the fact that he does want to return. He feels like he's having fun. He likes the team. He likes the players on this team, even though it hasn't been playing well lately. And I know Lewis mentioned a better balance. There's been no balance here, right? There's been no running game that has been able to offset everything else. There's been a lot of defensive injuries. And this is a team that's now lost, what is it, three straight games to teams that you wouldn't ordinarily think the Steelers would lose to. They lost to the Washington football team, then Buffalo, and then Cincinnati in what was supposed to be a get-right game, but this team did not get right.
All right, and so that's where they sit right now. That's where we begin our football conversation, but there's lots more. Shefty, let's run through the hurry up here with a bunch of other stories, and it begins in Washington. What can you tell us about where everything stands right now with Dwayne Haskins?
Look, there's a short and long-term answer here, Greeny. The short-term answer is this team still may need him on Saturday when it plays Carolina to start, because Alex Smith is not assured of being ready from that calf injury. Long-term, obviously, there are questions about Dwayne Haskins. He lost his captaincy. He was fine. And again, nobody knows whether he'll be there. There are some people who believe that it's time for him to get out of the Maryland area where there are bad influences. Marvin Lewis, the former head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, interviewed yesterday for the Houston Texans head coaching job. I think people look at Marvin Lewis and the job he did in Cincinnati and now see it in a different light and recognize the good coach that Marvin Lewis is and can be. And if you're looking for experience in the NFL, then Marvin Lewis certainly would bring that to a franchise. He has wrapped up his interview with the Texans. And Christian McCaffrey is not expected to play again this weekend due to that quad injury through the ankle, the shoulder, all the nicks and pains that have built up this year. And I would wonder this, if he's not playing this weekend and this team has been eliminated from the playoffs, why would you play him in week 17? So despite the fact that Christian McCaffrey wants to play and would like to be out there, I think there's a real chance that Christian McCaffrey has played his last down in the 2020 season.
No, it's just been an injury plague disaster for him all year long. Shefty, thank you. Meanwhile, I want to get to New England as our next stop, and I just want to play you this entire exchange. What you're about to hear is 42 seconds, and you will get a sense. Mike Reese is our Patriots reporter, and he is the best. And he is doing his job. He's trying to find out if Bill Belichick is considering changing quarterbacks from Cam Newton to Jared Stidham this weekend. I just want you to hear how excruciatingly awkward this conversation was. 42 seconds worth, starting now.
Were you sticking with Cam at quarterback?
Mike, we're not answering that question every day. I've been through this for a month.
I totally respect that. I think just with the circumstances changing over the last, last couple days with the playoffs, that's why I asked.
How about if I let you know if we're going to make a change?
That sounds good to me. Is it partly due to competitive reasons that you don't want to let the Bills know?
Any questions on Buffalo, Mike?
Good, thanks, Bill.
That pause is so excruciating to me. Maybe it's just the talk show host in me, but those 4.5 seconds where there is no sound, there's just that dead air, it makes me itch in places that I cannot reach to scratch. And I'm just picturing Damian Woody and Lewis Riddick. Lou, I'll start with you. You played for the man. So when you are watching that exchange, what thoughts go through your mind?
Look, that's Bill, man. Bill's never going to give you anything. He's never going to give you exactly what you want. Are you kidding me, man? You talk about awkward. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Charles Barkley and Kevin Durant the other night when they had their exchange on TV, too. Look, he's just not going to give you – he's not going to give you what you want. He's just not. And quite honestly, look, as far as, you know, are they going to play Cam? Are they going to give Jared Stidham a look? I think at this point, look, Bill understands what this season is. He understands the challenges that this team has faced, starting with all the opt-outs at the beginning of the year. And when you really look at it from a football standpoint, is he really going to be able to find out enough and make a sweeping decision, or rather a broad-based decision about Jared Stidham off of one game if he starts him? If he plays good, does that mean I found my quarterback? If he plays bad, does that mean he's safe? I think with him, it's just, you know, I think he's going to try and start Cam. I really do. I'm not going to speak for him. I think because you know he'll go off the beaten path and do whatever he wants. But I think right now, I think Bill's just trying to get through this season, be competitive, get to the offseason, and get to work on this football team that he knows he has to do a lot of work on. And he's not going to give you anything as far as what he's thinking, whether or not they're 14-15-0 or they're struggling like they are now. He's giving you nothing.
That's fair. But, D. Wood, at the same time, if it isn't obvious to at least try Jared Stidham right now, what does that tell us?
Tells you what Bill thinks about Jared Stidham. I mean, think about what the Patriots are this season and the struggles they've had offensively, even at the quarterback position with Cam Newton. The fact that Bill hasn't even went to Jared Stidham was with the Patriots longer than Cam Newton. They had a quarterback competition. Cam Newton won. They've struggled on offense. Bill hasn't once, like, really turned it over to Jared Stidham. So to me, all of this leads to the thinking of Bill as it relates to Jared Stidham, and I don't think Jared Stidham is considered to be, you know, a guy that's the long-term solution at the quarterback position by any means.
It doesn't feel that way. So there's that piece of this. And then Dominique, it feels like there's another piece to this. Does it feel like we may be seeing the last of Cam Newton here, who has been a great player at times in this league? Do we feel like we're seeing the end?
Yeah, I mean, he signed a one-year deal with them. They're not committed going forward, and he hasn't played well, frankly. Like, I was someone who was super high on Cam coming in, and he made me seem smart in the first 3 weeks, but he's an older player who has a lot of injuries, and it seems like every time he's throwing the ball, it feels like it's so much labor just to get any pass down the field. So I'm not sure that we're going to see – well, I know we're not going to see the – MVP level Cam again, and I'd be surprised, frankly, as much as it seems like he means to their organization, I'd be surprised if they go into next season with only Cam back there. Maybe they bring him back, but I suspect they bring someone else back, and it's not going to be Jared Stidham or Hoyer, because as Damian said, if Bill had any confidence or any faith in them throughout the course of the season when Cam was struggling, they would have given one of them a shot. It doesn't seem like he believes that either of those guys are an upgrade for Cam Newton.
And so, Shefty, pick it up from there. It feels like it's going to be a time of great change in New England. This year maybe will feel like the transition from what it had been for all those years to whatever it becomes next. What is your sense of where the quarterback situation goes?
I think they don't know right now. And I think that they have discovered what it's like to have lived in Buffalo or New York with the Jets or Miami with the Dolphins when they didn't have an obvious quarterback solution. They have basically turned to the rest of the AFC East at this point in time. Cam Newton has been okay this year, but it doesn't look like he's the answer for this team. They don't look like they believe in Jared Stidham. Brian Hoyer is what he is. He's a veteran, a trusted veteran backup. And so they are back to where they were all last offseason. When Tom Brady left, they thought Jared Stidham was the guy. Cam Newton came along. They signed him to a low minimum contract that was heavy in incentives. And so now they're back to figuring out which is the right solution going forward. There are a lot of quarterbacks that could be traded this offseason, a lot of quarterbacks that could be drafted in the first round. New England needs to address that position, and I think it knows it.
Oh, Dominique had an idea for that one. We will get to that as the show goes. Dominique had an idea for who the quarterback for the Patriots could be next year. It is an intriguing one, and it is on the way as we continue. Very busy this morning on this Christmas Eve edition of Get Up. Coming up, stiff test for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers against the Titans this week. I will tell you the one thing they can do that will prove they are the class of the NFC. And then, harmless fun or disrespectful? We've got some serious disagreement on whether Juju's pregame dance is a big problem in Pittsburgh. That and more on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Disney and Pixar's Soul, streaming this Friday only on Disney+. All right, Dominique, feast your eyes on this. Ja Morant, really, words don't do it justice. Go ahead, tell us what we're seeing here.
He's fantastic. Sadly, this is like benign for Ja Morant highlights. He's outstanding. I think he's going to be MVP of the league at some point. He's that good a player. I love Ja Morant.
He had 44 points for Memphis last night, but they lost to the Spurs 131-119 in their season opener. If there is one thing you could say about Tom Brady, it's that he is the greatest of all time, right? Wrong. Tony Dungy has other ideas. There's a debate going on, and we're just the ones to finish it. Next, Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The NBA is in a gift-giving mood this Christmas Day. 5 games with the biggest names in basketball on the court.
Zion takes on the Heat. Steph squares off against Giannis, and KD and Kyrie head to Boston.
Then it's LeBron versus Luka, followed by Kawhi and the Clippers against the Nuggets.
Greeny, all of the games on ESPN and ABC.
And Get Up and First Take will get your day started, telling you what to watch for and what to expect.
A hoops Christmas to remember, starting with Get Up and First Take.
We will have some fun tomorrow. Meanwhile, let's have some fun right now. Either or, looking ahead to some of the big games this weekend. Lewis, Phillip Rivers versus Big Ben. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Phillip Rivers. Why? Because I'm going to go with their offensive line, and they're going to be able to protect him better than what Pittsburgh has been protecting Big Ben, and Big Ben has been a little bit off. If Phillip has had his ups and downs this year, but the guy on your screen right there, T.Y. Hilton, is a dynamite player. They've got some young guys on the perimeter to go along with him. I really like their rushing attack and how balanced they can be with Hines and my boy Jonathan Taylor. So I'm going to go with the Colts and Phillip Rivers in this one.
I like it. Neek, you're next. Aaron Donald versus Russell Wilson. Who you got?
Yeah, I think I got to go with Aaron Donald right now. Russell Wilson is playing a lot better. He's kind of returned to early season. Let Russ cook, even though they aren't throwing the ball nearly as much. But Aaron Donald, he does not miss a game. Like, he shows up every week. He's like Patrick Mahomes on the defensive side of the ball. He never has a bad game. I suspect that he's going to have an impact and the Rams win again.
Next up is D. Wood. We got Derrick Henry against Aaron Rodgers. Who you got?
Greeny, this one isn't fair, but I'm going to go with Derrick Henry in this case. You know, Derrick Henry has an opportunity to rush for 2,000 yards this year. You know, you're talking about a Packers defense that's giving over 4.5 yards per rush. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to bludgeon the Green Bay Packers defensively, so I'm going with Derrick Henry.
Okay, I like that. Let's actually think about that one a little bit more. When the Packers host Henry and the Titans on Sunday night, it is a meeting of probably the best running back in the league, and a run defense that has been in the middle of the pack this year and has candidly been much maligned. Henry is the most rushing yards, tied for the most touchdowns. Packers defense, middle of the road. And again, a lot of people look at this as the weakness. And so I'm going to make this edition of Change My Mind. Here is the statement I'm going to make, and let's see if anyone wants to change my mind. If the Packers shut down Derrick Henry this weekend, then I will come in here Monday and I will say the Green Bay Packers, are the team to beat in the NFC. That is their ticket to the Super Bowl. It's the one thing they haven't been able to do. So, Lewis Riddick, do you want to change my mind? If I say to you, if the Packers shut down Derrick Henry, they're on their way to the Super Bowl. You want to change my mind?
Yeah, because they're not going to shut down Derrick Henry. So I don't think I'm really going to have to address this. But nevertheless, yeah, you know what? Look, this is a football team. Look, Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, absolutely knows exactly who they want to be offensively. And they know exactly how they want to attack you. And I'm not going to say that you automatically have to go back to the NFC Championship game a year ago and remember what Kyle Shanahan put on the Green Bay Packers as far as a running clinic, because their running games are a little bit different and their running backs are different as far as how they try to hit you, meaning San Francisco and Tennessee. But Derrick Henry, look, when you see that highlight right there, when you see him just take people, grown men, and throw them on the ground, look, I'm going to bet on him. I'm going to bet on how multiple this offense is in Tennessee, and I just don't think Green Bay has the firepower to deal with that right now. Although I will say this, Aaron has lifted the entire operation offensively and defensively, because his effect on the entire football team is something that you can't question, and they are going to be, I believe, in the NFC Championship game for sure. But I just don't think that they have enough up front to deal with this Tennessee running game right now that is pretty much giving everybody fits.
Yeah, that's the big question to me as well. D. Wood, what do you think?
I wouldn't want to be anybody on that field got to deal with that grown man and Derrick Henry. But listen, Aaron Rodgers to me is the MVP of the league right now. And Lewis just talked about Aaron Rodgers has elevated everyone within the Green Bay Packers organization on the field. His play has just been spectacular. And I think, at minimum, I think Green Bay Packers are going to be in the NFC Championship game. Maybe the difference between the Packers getting to, you know, advancing further out, it has to be their defense. And I think this game against the Tennessee Titans and that rushing attack, I think will go a long way to determining whether the Green Bay Packers could end up in the Super Bowl down in Tampa.
Correct. It's literally exactly what I'm saying, which is that if they are able to slow down the running game, and Derrick Henry is the best test you could possibly have of that, then they will show that they are the team to beat in the NFC. Schefter, you're nodding your head. What do you think?
Well, I think it's week 16, and I think Green Bay is going to be the number one seed. And I think even if they don't slow down Derrick Henry, they're still fully and entirely capable of winning two games in January in Lambeau Field to go to the Super Bowl. So as much as we want to take Sunday night as an indication of whether this team is ready to make the next jump, the postseason is just different. Yes, it's a sign. It's a signal. You want to see that Green Bay is trending in the right direction and that its run defense is being shored up for the postseason in which it could face a player like Alvin Kamara. But the fact of the matter is, I think when we get to January, I just think it's a little different. You want to draw conclusions from Christmas to late January, and maybe there's something to read into it, but I'm not fully buying Greeny.
All right, we will see. I will be watching that game very closely, and we will see if that defense is able to rise up against that man who throws people around on the football field like sometimes like they are small children. All right, next up, it's time for Neek.
Ready or not, tell him here I come. Ready or not, tell him here I come.
Look at me, handsome, fast, quick. Doesn't take much for me to, I'm modest, humble, you know. Doesn't take much for me to be confident.
He has the dopest open of any of our analysts. It is time for Unique Perspective, which I think today may have been forced on him one way or the other, but we shall see. Dominique, the floor is yours.
Oh, it wasn't forced on me. I hope that in that Steelers players-only meeting that they have today, that they go in there and they tell Juju, we want you to dance. Because as I said yesterday, I don't think him dancing on the opponent's logo impacts the game. I don't really buy into it as being some sort of motivating factor for the other team or some bulletin board material. But it's about a mentality. And we talk about, Mike Tomlin said, if you can't get 1 yard when you know they need 1 yard, then that's on you. This feels like the same thing to me. Like, why are you scared of waking up the opponent? I don't think they are. Wake up. That's fine. If you guys are awake, that's fine. We're still going to beat you. We are the big dogs. We are Santa, you're the elves. We're Beyonce, you're Destiny's Child. We will run through you because this is our house. Like, it bothers me to think that somehow maybe Juju is being pushed off of this because they're scared. I don't think that the Steelers are saying this. I hope they aren't saying this, but they're pushing Juju off of this because, like, oh, you're going to wake up the opponents. That's a mentality that I can't accept. Wake up. We are not afraid of you. We don't care if you wake up. This is our house, our division. We own it. And whether you like dancing or not, it doesn't matter. Juju's your guy. Juju, if you like to dance before the game, you know what? Dance. If my dog Juju want to dance, he going to dance on your emblem. He going to dance in your end zone. Dance wherever you want. On fourth and one, we're going to run through you. That's the mentality that I believe the Steelers tend to have. I think it's the mentality that they actually have in that locker room right now. So I hate the idea that somebody is going to be tipped. That's just not a football, at least not a defensive mindset. We're going to be tiptoeing around. Oh, we don't want to upset them. We don't want to give them bulletin board material. Let's not step on this paint because it's going to upset them. Maybe they'll beat us. I don't care. Come out. We don't play the game on a bulletin board. We play the game on the field. So shut up. Dance if you want to dance.
I love that one. Lewis Riddick, you were there for what may now wind up being the last of the Juju dances for TikTok on the, what did you think?
Look, I know this, because I'm gonna speak for myself. Athletes are petty, man. Athletes use all kinds of things to get themselves motivated. I mean, we've seen the greatest athlete of all time, Michael Jordan, uses all kinds of slights, all kinds of perceived signs of disrespect to get them motivated. And it's not like all of a sudden, well, that was the ticket, that's why the Bengals won. But I can tell you this, look, I know people think, well, this is college rah-rah stuff. No one cares about planting flags, dancing on logos and stuff. But I'll tell you this, as a defensive player, when your whole game really is predicated on aggression and attacking, and I see people like doing stuff like that, especially seeing wide receivers do stuff like that, I can tell you this, and Dominic knows this, as a defensive back, you know Von Bell said, if I can put a shot on number 19, I'm going to look him up, and I'm going to put a shot on him. And in that game, as soon as he hit Juju Smith-Schuster, the whole sideline on Cincinnati erupted. Everybody's attitude went through the roof because he puts a target on himself by doing that. I don't care if it's high school, college, or professional. You know we're petty, and when we see stuff like that, we're going, bingo, I got something to settle, and I'm going to try and settle it. And that's what people are trying to do to him.
Go ahead, Nate. I don't disagree with you, but my response is also a defensive mentality. So what? Get mad. We're going to beat you anyway. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's the mentality that I want. When I was watching Monday Night Football, I was so happy that you were on there because I think Greasy said something about McKenzie Alexander showboating, and Greasy was kind of being critical, and you kind of cleared it up, saying sometimes you get those penalties when you have that mindset. That's how I feel about this. Sometimes you got to have that mindset that we are going to dance on your emblem. We're going to do whatever we want because we are who we are. And I don't care if you're awake or if you're asleep or if you're not, if this upsets you, if this offends your sensibilities. This is my field, not the bulletin board. Let's do it.
Let me ask the man who would dance on the living room cover.
I get it from a defensive perspective, for sure.
Go ahead, Chester.
Has Juju been doing this every single game all year? He has, right?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. So why was this never an issue when they were 11-0? Why was nobody saying anything then? Why all of a sudden was he able to do it for 11 weeks? And all of a sudden they lose, and now it's an issue that he's dancing on the logo.
What it comes down to, Schefter, is this. People don't like Juju dancing, or some people don't like the idea of guys having personality on social media, and they have seized upon this as an opportunity to be critical of it. Because you're right. They've won 11 games. They've lost 3. Maybe you could argue that the dancing helped them more than it hurt them. So some people don't like it as a concept, so they're like, hey, now we finally have opportunity to jump on Juju.
All right, let's leave it there for the moment. I will come back to this, I promise, because I think obviously everyone has a lot more to say. We'll continue. In the meantime, speaking of a little bit of going back and forth, Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. Many consider Brady the GOAT, but Neek played against both, and you have to hear his answer on who was harder to face. That's on the way. It's a subject. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and to call Tom Brady the GOAT is not really much of a stretch. He's thrown the most passing touchdowns all time. He's second to Drew Brees in passing yards. He's appeared in 9 Super Bowls, which is by far the most all time by a quarterback. His 6 wins, also by far the most all time for a quarterback. He's won 3 MVP awards in his career. He's one of just 5 players to do that. Only Peyton Manning has more with 5. His 14 Pro Bowls, tied with 4 other players for the most all time. So is he the GOAT? Well, Tony Dungy doesn't seem to think so. Listen to this.
I'm never putting Tom Brady ahead of Peyton Manning. So the best he can be is 2. Peyton was my guy. So the highest he could ever get is 2. Those mobile quarterbacks, that's who I put ahead of Tom. Aaron Rodgers, John Elway, Steve Young, guys who could move. Not to say Tom wasn't great. He is great, but that extra dimension meant something to me. So that's why I would only put him at 6. Just my opinion.
So that's his opinion. And look, Lewis Riddick just mentioned that athletes can be petty. Well, it seemed to bother Tom Brady, who posted this in response, that the Indianapolis Colts have a banner in their stadium that refers to them as an AFC finalist. And I guess Brady's point is, well, we only hang championship banners where I come from. For the record, Tony Dungy was no longer the coach in Indianapolis in 2014. His last year there was 2008. But let's just get right to it, because look, them's fighting words, right? You're the 6th best quarterback I've ever seen all time. D. Wood, you played with him. What do you think?
Man, it's totally disrespectful, man. Listen, people can call me a homer and all that type of stuff because I played with Tom Brady, but I've seen the greatness up close and personal. The other guys he talked about, yeah, they might have better arm talent. They might have been more athletic, but from the neck up, Tom Brady is the absolute GOAT quarterback, period. And I just go back to Super Bowl 36 against the St. Louis Rams. Here he is, Tom Brady, in his second year. The Rams had all the momentum in the world. Ricky Prohl just scored a touchdown. We in that broadcast, John Madden was saying in that 2 minute, in that last drive, go for overtime. Don't do it. What Bill said, I trust my quarterback. I trust my second year guy to go down here and drive and make this drive down the field for an eventual Adam Vinatieri field goal. Tom Brady, again, the guy with from a mentality standpoint, from a mental standpoint, strongest guy I've ever seen up close. So yeah. They can have that. He can have that. He can have Aaron Rodgers and his arm and Peyton Manning and Steve Young and all those guys. Give me Tom Brady, because I can tell you one thing. When it comes to the last drive, and everyone has talked about it, when it comes to the last drive, oh, we've left too much time for Tom Brady. I'll take that guy.
That was the night that Brady's legend really began. Dominic, you played against Brady and Peyton Manning. Who scared you more?
I mean, I have to be honest, it was Peyton. And I think it was interesting that you brought up the mental part of the game. That was what was terrifying about Peyton. He wasn't like the strongest arm or like the most accurate, but he knew everything that your defense was in. And the only time that we were able to really confuse him was because we knew what he was thinking. This play right here is one of my favorite. And we saw Bill Belichick kind of geek out about it at the NFL 100. It was because we knew that he knew what we were going to be in. So we got in something to show him what he thought he was going to see, but we were going to something different. They had just run a comeback on me that Reggie Wayne caught. They did a hurry up, which we knew meant they were repeating the play. We also knew that if I sit on the comeback, they convert to a go. So Ed runs away from the play. I sit on the comeback. Reggie Wayne converts to the go. Ed rolls over the top and gets the interception. That's how hard you had to work to confuse or trick Peyton Manning. So no one's going to disagree. Tom Brady with 6 Super Bowls is certainly the greatest of all time. But in a preparation standpoint, a game-by-game standpoint, Peyton Manning's ability to know what you are in, your entire defense, all 11 guys, including some of the coaches on the sideline, had to hold the disguise or else Peyton Manning would know your play, and it didn't matter how good your players were because he would pick the perfect play to beat you every time. Tom didn't have that flexibility, at least at the times when I was playing him, and it wasn't something that he was doing.
Quickly, Lewis, what do you think of Tom's response? You just talked about being, you know, athletes being petty. He throws up that banner up there. What'd you think?
I love the petty. I love it. Give me more petty, please. The more petty, the better. Because that is what, those are the kind of things that drive people. Guy, Tom Brady has won more Super Bowls than any other quarterback. Some people call him the GOAT and all, and he still, to this day, acts as though he is being slighted coming out of Michigan, and people are still doubting him. And that's the kind of thing that I believe just spurs you on to this kind of conversation and puts you in this kind of conversation, because that fire never ever goes out. And I played against Elway and Steve Young. Those were two bad dudes now.
I love it. I'm going to leave it there.
But Tom is the winningest quarterback ever, so.
There's a lot more to say about this. We're going to come back to this one, I promise, because it is an awesome story, and there's a lot more to be said. But game of the night is our next stop, because there was one spectacular game in the NBA last night, and this was the Bucks and the Celtics. It's back-to-back MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo visiting Jason Tatum. We're going to pick this up in the fourth quarter. Celtics had led all night, but Giannis bringing his team back. Mr. Inside gets it to 10 points, and then Mr. Outside is Giannis, drilling the three. He had 35 points, 13 rebounds. It's a two-point game. A minute and a half to go. Celtics looking for a response. We're all tied. Not anymore. Jason Tatum. Oh, that's impossible to stop. He scored 30. Boston by 2. Ensuing Bucks possession. Newest member of their group, Jrue Holiday. Watch the step back. He was great last night. Jrue Holiday, 25 points in his Milwaukee debut. 9 seconds left in the fourth. Celtics down by 1. What are you going to draw up? They get it to Tatum. Watch the switch. How about this matchup? Giannis, one-on-one with Tatum. 4, 3, 2, 1, throw it up. Bank is open. Jason Tatum banks home the three. He had 6 threes on the night as part of his 30-point night. That one gives the Celtics the 2-point lead with 0.4 seconds remaining. But again, 0.4 seconds. Bucks have a chance. What are you going to do? Holiday going to throw it up. Giannis looking to throw it down and hold everything. We got a foul. The whistle blows. It's a foul on Tristan Thompson. Giannis is going to go to the line with a chance to tie it. He shot 63% last year. First one. Oh, it's up and good. He needs one more, and we're going to overtime. Giannis. Oh, he pulls the string. front of the rim. His first game since signing the biggest contract in NBA history. That one doesn't go, and the Celtics survive 122-121 in a thrilling opening game for both of those really good Eastern Conference teams. And Tim Legler joins us here this morning. Timmy Legs, let me get a thought from you. What do you take out of that one, especially that moment from Giannis at the line?
Listen, you're a two-time MVP, Greeny. You got to make that free throw. It's that simple. And it's one thing to just, you know, beat up a guy over one missed free throw on a night when he had such a great statistical night. This is more than that, though. It's reared its head before. If you go back to a year ago against Miami, and I know he was banged up at the tail end of that series, but he was 20 for 37 from the line in the first three games of that series. That's 54%. The year before that, when they lose to Toronto, he shoots 55% from the line in that series. And the reason it's such a big deal, because it's still the one thing holding this team back from breaking through. Putting the ball in the hands of your best player in that situation and having faith and confidence that he can do whatever is required in the moment, mid-range, deep, or make a critical free throw to get your team to the next level. And he wasn't able to come through. And it's something that you're going to question about Giannis and this team all season long in those moments.
Giannis, why did a big perk, why did I hear that sigh from you? I got 30 seconds.
First of all, it wasn't a foul, and they have that old saying, ball don't lie, because he wasn't supposed to be shooting free throws anyway. But Tim Legs is on point. But I think it was more about the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown was phenomenal last night. With Kemba being out, look for Jaylen Brown to up his game. The mid-range is not dead, and he showed us that last night. By the way, nice additions by the Boston Celtics, getting Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague. They were huge for them last night.
Those are two good teams, along with Brooklyn, could be very interesting in the East this year. I have to leave it there. I'm coming back to both of you off the top of the next hour on the big story of the NBA night. And then back to the NFL. Tough run for Big Ben and the Steelers the past few weeks. Question, are their problems solvable? Answer, upcoming, right here, Get Up, on ESPN.